on your part.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. I'm your host, JT Ayers, and I hope that you and I have been able to connect in some way. But before I go any further, I need to talk about On Track and Field. On Track and Field is a company, family-based, family-run, that has everything you need for track and field equipment. Collegiate, professional, definitely high school. And I say definitely high school because I use them. I'm a head coach. I have pole vault poles and pole vault pits, and a pole vault pit is $32,000. Did you know that? It is a hefty price. And yet, On Track and Field is going to make sure that I have what I need and my kids have the best chance to succeed. And they do that. They do that all the time. So I love working with them. In fact, this Saturday, the CEO is going to drive all the way down from like middle of California to Southern California, and he's going to give me a whole lot of cool stuff that we need. And he's going to stick around and help me put it together too, because my customer service is also important. OnTrackAndField.com. Go check them out. And before you go any further, make sure you just subscribe to this podcast because we have content coming out every Tuesday, and I know you don't want to miss it. With me is Coach Wilborn. Sean Wilborn is in his just starting his fourth season as a director of track and field and cross country at Duke. Go Blue Devils. This his second season, they shattered 13 total school records, 85 top five program marks, qualified 17 individuals to NCAA championships in the indoor and outdoor seasons. And they led Duke women to share the 2021 the ACC Indoor Championship, highest ranking in program history. I hope all that information is correct. And that was just a small glimpse into it. Coach, you're doing a tremendous job, and it's so good to have you on the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me. I much appreciate it. And you just talked a little bit about some of that equipment coming from the middle of California. And that's where I'm originally from Visalia, California, Redwood High School.
No way. I coached at Redwood High School for 1 year and took those kids to a CIF championship, and Buchanan High School beat me by 1 point.
Oh, man. Who knew?
Who knew? Yeah, not me. Redwood High School. Wow. Central Valley. Here we go. I want to start with talking about Duke, because Duke has, when you just say the name, it brings this connotation of like culture. It comes of prestige. It comes with this idea of doing things the right way. I mean, you guys are very disciplined. Is that the case with track and field? Is that something that you have developed over your time there? I mean, can you just explain what Duke track and field and cross country is all about?
Well, a little bit of my history. Before I got into coaching track and field, I coached high school football. And I played football in college as well. So I come from that team concept, that team background. And, you know, I've always believed that that type of culture can exist in track and field. And the way you do that is you don't develop just one event area. You develop all event areas in the sport. And that's what we try to do at Duke. And, you know, what I believe that does is it gives the student athlete a better experience because they're around teammates that are throwers and distance runners and sprinters and jumpers. And so you have different cultural backgrounds. You have different socioeconomic backgrounds. You have different body types, but they learn from each other. I tell them, this is what the real world is going to look like when you get out of college and you have a real job. So I think that is, believe it or not, one of the keys to our success, because our kids enjoy it and they're able to have fun. We have type A personalities, and they're tense, and you know, they're stressed all the time from school. But I think the experience of coming out to track practice and having just teammates and in a team environment lets them loosen up a little bit so they can compete well.
What kind of kid are you even looking for to attend Duke? I mean, Duke is a smart kid school. It is not cheap. And on all of that, but you have to be pretty athletically driven, if not talented, to even go to that school. I mean, you carry a very strong reputation. I mean, how do you maintain that? What kind of kid are you even looking for? Because I can't imagine it's just marks that you find on mile split.
Yeah, well, you know, for us, what you just said, you know, it's already narrowed down for who we can recruit. So we have to find sometimes the needles in the haystack, you know, the kid that is driven academically and they want to compete academically just like they compete on the track or in the field. And, you know, those are the types of kids that we get, and they're a joy to coach. They have their own baggage sometimes, but all kids do. I've actually been at Duke. This is starting my 16th year here. So before I became the director, you know, I was the associate head coach and then an assistant before that. So, I moved around a little bit before I got here. But once I got here, I just discovered what a great place it is. And the city of Durham. The area, I love it. I love its location. And, you know, you can get to the mountains, you can get to the beach, you can get, you know, to the cities of D.C. and New York, you can get down to Florida. So love the location, love the weather. And so because of that, we are able to recruit the entire country and the world for that matter, as we have a number of international kids on our roster.
Wow, it's remarkable. And I've asked a lot of really good coaches, including yourself, pretty much the same questions. Like, what do you look for in a recruit? What would you want? But let me kind of pivot a little bit. What do you do with the kid that comes and says, I just want to go to Duke? It's my dream school. And I just want to get in. My grades are pretty much kind of there. And don't give me money. I'll pay for it. I just want to be on Duke's team. I mean, what is a coach do with that? Because I'm sure you have a lot of walk-ons, right?
Actually, we don't. It's that's what I'm the most proud of how well we've developed our student athletes, because we don't have the depth that some programs have. Getting into Duke's one of the most difficult schools in the country to get accepted to, so we have to rely on our admissions office gives us admission slots that we can use. So we are allowed to have, roughly 40 per gender admission slots. And that doesn't mean that, the academics are lower than the students, the normal students here at Duke, but it just means that we can get them through that admissions process if we, as a track and field staff, decide to use one of those admission spots on them. So, the way I explain it to recruits is, if we have 10 kids graduate, really, we have 10 spots now that we can use to help you get admitted to school. So those spots are extremely valuable for us. And yes, once we identify a cohort of prospects, well, then we have to really fine tune it and narrow it down to who we think we can develop. And that's kind of how we decide who we're going to give that spot to. So it's extremely competitive. We've been fortunate as a staff where we've found some kids and they come in here and developed and done very well at the NCAA level.
You're almost alluding to this collaborative effort as a coaching staff, and you're the head coach. The buck stops with you, so to speak. How do you manage your coaching staff as throughout the entire year? Because you're also in cross country season, and yet you have other coaches. You're doing stuff with just sprinters and hurdlers and bolters.
Yeah.
How do you manage all that?
Yeah, we have a full time cross country head coach that I've hired, and every Tuesday we meet as a staff. So the cross country staff, all my assistants, and basically we're recruiting right now, but we get together and they have to present their prospects to me. And they have to, basically tell me why, this particular prospect is better than this other prospect. And so we hash it out, and, it's a war room every Tuesday where we're trying to fine tune the kids that we're going to offer spots to, if we're at that point in the recruiting process.
Just to be a fly on that wall, I watched that Netflix documentary, that's for sure.
You would love it because it gets heated, and I challenge them, and you know, but they know once we walk out after that meeting that, you know, they know what we're trying to do, and the staff's bought into the concept of we're trying to get the best available athlete. And yes, you know, we have specific event group needs at times, but we also want to get the best, you know, prospect that is going to help the team as a whole. And so that's our ultimate goal.
And if you're a professor at Duke, there's a expectation that you have to go write papers and prove that you should be tenured and do all that stuff. How does a head coach and a sprint coach and a vault coach and a multis coach, I mean, how do you continue, or maybe you can speak to this, how do you force may not be the right word, how do you force your coaching staff to continue to improve? I mean, is it just how their athletes finish the season? How do you kind of keep them on their best game to ensure that Duke has the best sprint coach possible, the best throw coach possible? Because finding coaches is tough.
Yeah. I, you know, when I took over the job, you know, that was kind of one of the first things I did was, you know, I wrote down on paper, what am I looking for in an assistant coach? And what you said, you know, professional development. Is this coach somebody that I have seen at, you know, maybe the, you know, the coach's convention? Or are they the coaches that are listening to, you know, the other coaches, their peers? Are they listening to them speak? Are they picking their brains after sessions? So have they published, or, you know, have they done video lectures, things like that? So, you know, I want every coach that we have is highly invested in professional development. You know, my sprint coach, Mark Mueller, you know, he just wrote an article that was in Techniques magazine. My throws coach is presenting at the USTF CCCA convention this winter. So all of our coaches are up to date in the research and continuing to better themselves on a daily basis.
Not every program is the same. You're a head coach. What is your, and you're speaking to a lot of the things that have everything to do with actually writing workouts, being with the kids, because I haven't asked you fair questions. What does a practice look like for you? Are you trying to touch base with every single athlete, every single coach? And then also you have your athletes to manage as well?
Yeah. So once we get going and all the, you know, all the event groups are practicing, we have to stagger some of the practice sessions at Duke just because of, you know, our hammer cage is in the middle of our infield. So they have to go earlier because I don't want them throwing a hammer when the sprinters are out on the track. You know, so it's staggered. So throughout the day, you know, I'm going to go out to practice and I'm going to try to watch each individual group practice a little bit each day. Maybe one day, I go to the throwers practice. Maybe the next day I go to the distance runners practice. But once a week on Saturdays, we practice everybody at the same time. So we have the whole team out here on Saturdays where we're all together in the fall. And then once we get into the spring and we're in season, we are practicing as a team almost every day in the afternoon. In the fall, cross-country practices in the morning. Once we get into track season, they move their practices to the afternoon, so we're all out on the track together. Now the hammer throwers are still practicing earlier for the safety reasons, but you know, we try to get them involved as often as we can. We do a lot of things as a team whenever we can. You know, going back to what I initially said of that team concept, and I want our throwers interacting with our distance runners and, you know, basically mingling all the groups at some point.
What's something that you and or even Duke does better than anybody else?
What is something that we do that's better than everybody else? Here's an interesting fact about Duke. 10% of our undergrad population are student athletes. So at Duke, you're going to be in every class you're in. There's an athlete from another team in that class with you. The professors at Duke know that they have athletes in their classes. So because of that, I feel that our professors here are understanding of the rigor that our student athletes go through. And the other thing is you see our student athletes interact with each other from the different teams. So you see our men's basketball team, which is as high profile as it gets, you see them at a women's soccer game. You know, and now our football team is getting a lot of, you know, publicity and they're doing really well. You see basketball and football. You see football coming to basketball. You see football players out watching a track meet when we host the home meet. And other places I've been, you just don't see that. The school I was at before Duke, I never saw the football players. And it's very different here where they all – and one of the reasons is they eat together four nights a week. So we have a training table for all of the teams so they can come in and they go up into our press box in the football stadium. And every evening they go in there and they get together and they're able to sit with somebody from a different team and break bread, I guess, as they say.
Wow, it's really unique. I have not interviewed any coach that has, said that. Is that one of the things you show recruits when you bring them in? Like, this is how you're going to be taken care of.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, 90% of our recruits, when they leave campus, that's one of the things they tell us. Man, it's so unique. I met so-and-so from the basketball team the soccer player just came up and talked to me. And we hear that all the time.
Does Duke have a rival in track and field? Sure, doing basketball.
I mean, sure. I think over the last couple of years, since I've taken over, there's two rivals. It would be, University of Miami, because we battled them outdoors a lot. Since I've taken over the program, my first 3 years, we tied for the outdoor title. My first year, we were second to Miami by like 7 or 8 points. My second year, and then we won it last year. So indoors, we tied with Virginia Tech, and then we lost to Virginia Tech on the last event of the day when our 4x4 girl, our anchor, like, dropped the baton a meter from the finish line.
It was on social media. We saw it.
Yeah. So indoors, it's Virginia Tech, and outdoors, it's Miami. Those are kind of our rivals.
I love it. I know the kids love it, and it's just good for the sport. Well, Coach, I promised you I wouldn't keep you too long. I do really appreciate you coming on the podcast. The way you're doing things, it matters. And I live in Southern California and I have kids that I know down the street at Santa Margarita Chaplet that have gone to Duke and have come back and said, you need to go here. This is the place to go. And same with my school, which was just down the street. Your reputation precedes you. And we're grateful. Where can we follow more about you and the cross country and track teams?
Hey, follow Duke Track and Field on Instagram. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me personally at Coach Wilborn on Instagram and Twitter. I try to post a lot. What's posted on the Duke Track and Field site, I'll repost. So that's one of the best places to see what's going on with us.
Fantastic. Well, Redwood, very own, is Sean Wilborn. It's so fun to hear that connection, Central Valley. Wow. Right. Coach, we appreciate you and thank you so much for coming on. And this podcast is powered by ontrackandfield.com and relaybatons.com. And you know who also is a legend from Simi Valley, close to the Central Coast, not so much Central Valley, is Steve Rangold, our CEO. Stick around. You can listen to him and he'll get you more information about how to get in contact with us on social media. So, Steve, the legend, take it away.
Thanks for joining us on this week's On Track and Field podcast with guest coach Sean Wilborn. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com. Custom engraved, meet, and competition legal relay batons. Perfect for representing your school or team and great for coaches' gifts, meet awards, prom proposals, and a great way to show your boosters some love. And check out our custom engraved water bottles and tumblers. Great for team branding and swag. And by OnTrackAndField.com. Track and cross country's one-stop source for everything you need for a competitive season and training. Competition gear, spikes, training equipment, and shoes. OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need. And make sure to check out our new website, OnTrackRunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes, featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. OnTrackRunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials at OnTrack, the letter N, Field, at OnTrackAndField on Twitter and the Gram.